ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The American dream fizzles out, despite pockets of promise on the day and plenty to admire during their journey. But today they were outfought, outplayed, and they are out. The Belgians believe and may well take some stopping.
You would think not even Donald Trump can reverse that result. Belgium's golden generation sent the co-hosts packing from the World Cup. It was a calamitous day from the Americans. Everything that could go wrong did. And they will look at this tournament, you'd think, as an enormous opportunity missed. They're not the only ones out today. Cristiano Ronaldo, the elephant in the Portuguese room, is leaving the tournament and taking his teammates with him. Spain marches on. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Gillian Sakovits covers Major League Soccer for Apple TV. She's been all over this FIFA Men's World Cup. Tough day to be talking from a United States perspective, Gillian. They're out of the tournament. Give us the pulse of American football fans right now.
Yeah, tough day, tough few minutes. The game just ended. It is late here in the United States. In New York, it's 10:20 p.m. And the pulse check is, I think everybody feels like they had a bit of a gut check at a punch in the face. I think everybody knew that this wasn't a sure thing win for the United States. And it would be one thing to not win in the round of 16, but I think to lose the way that they did is just leaving everybody with a bit of disappointment, the fans, and you could see it on the players' face. They should be disappointed as well, but there will be time to draw on the many positives from this team. But I think they should feel disappointed to go out the way that they did.
I think so much of today's game was inescapably framed around the presidential pardon. Donald Trump admitting he called FIFA to get Fowler and Balogun unsuspended from his red card.
Yeah, I did. I spoke to Johnny, who's highly respected, who's produced the most successful World Cup in history by, they say, four times. So I saw the play, and I'm a person that loves sports and was a good athlete, and I understand sports really well, really well. And that wasn't a foul.
To put it mildly, didn't go down well globally. What was the view of American football fans, and do you think that it was a distraction and a headache for this team?
First off, I've been thinking a lot about Belgium in this and the situation that they were in coming into this game. They had a few days to train and prepare like every team has and is entitled to. And then with 36 hours notice, the player that they're not training for is out on the field and they still go out there and they play like World Cup pros. So I think Belgium kind of like won this game twice for me. And in terms of it being a distraction, I don't think it was with this group because there has been a lot going on. There's a lot of different walks of life on this U.S. men's national team. There are a lot of different viewpoints on this U.S. men's national team, and they have found a way to not allow that to be a distraction. So I don't think it was. I think that they were outplayed today. I think they were outgutsed. That's not a word, but we have seen such a gutsy performance from them in every game, and that wasn't there today. This was the worst game that the U.S. has played. And yes, was it a very worthy opponent in Belgium? Yeah, but regardless of the opponent, it just wasn't there the way that it had been there in the other games. And as for the political side of things, I think the part that everybody could kind of laugh about is that when there are backroom deals or conversations, usually you don't talk about it. But President Trump was talking very much about it.
You know, it's one thing to penalize somebody for the game, but how do you penalize them for a game that hasn't been played yet? It's very unfair. You can't do that. So, yes, I asked for a review by FIFA. I spoke to a man who's highly respected, and by the way, whose level of respect has gone up tenfold.
While it was maybe a distraction to the fans and something people were, it couldn't walk by anybody. I was in a doctor's office today, and I could hear the receptionist talking about it, the doctors talking about it. And people don't understand soccer well enough here that everybody has it 100% correct. But it was such a crazy situation that I don't think anybody had this thing 100% figured out. And I felt really torn about it because while as a fan of the game, you want your leading goal scorer, Fuller and Balogun, on the field. But no matter which way this went, I knew it would feel icky. And I knew that the U.S. always has to battle people saying that we're not a soccer nation and that we don't know what we're talking about. So had the U.S. won today, there would have been this giant asterisk attached to it. So I felt really torn about Balogun even being back in this game for that reason, that you didn't want to give the naysayers a reason to say anything.
U.S. goalkeeper Matt Freese, geez, he will want to forget this game, particularly that third goal.
Oh, Matt Freese could be in trouble here. The U.S. could be in trouble here. It's a shocker of a goal from the co-host's point of view. The situation looked under control until it wasn't.
How tough would it have been to take for him what transpired on the pitch?
You know, I know Matt Freese really, really well. He was a longtime backup for Andre Blake, who's the Jamaican international goalkeeper, multi-MLS time goalkeeper of the year. And he never really got a shot with the Philadelphia Union. He was always the backup. And then he gets his chance to go to New York City. He does fantastic with them. He has this standout year last year. He gets on the radar of Mauricio Pochettino, and he kind of rises really quickly to stardom. And some people are looking around wondering, should it be Matt Turner, the guy who started every game in Qatar 4 years ago? But Matt Freese won the nod from Pochettino. And the one criticism of this group was that, you know, you think about Tim Howard, for example. He's had some saves that you can close your eyes and remember them. Matt Freese hadn't had that yet, but he also hadn't been tested yet. And everybody was kind of waiting for it. And I feel for him. These are human beings at the end of the day. And I feel for him that he had one moment in the very beginning of the game, and then he just couldn't kind of back up that game where he was getting tested. And would Matt Turner have had a different performance? Who knows? Because this also comes down to the defense. Like, the defense was heavily exposed tonight.
Christian Pulisic is another one who, you know, I think he'll look back at this tournament as a missed opportunity, limps out of the game tonight. I wonder whether we ever saw peak Christian during this tournament. How do you think you'll reflect on his tournament as a whole?
I really loved the nod from Pochettino in making 38-year-old defender Tim Ream the captain, because I think it took the pressure off Christian Pulisic a little bit to still be able to be a leader to this team. You know, there was the report that he said to Balogun when Balogun went off with the red card against Bosnia and Herzegovina, you know, you've had us all tournament, we have you. He has that leadership in him. So I think he really rose to the occasion in terms of being a leader on the field for his team, speaking to the media, etc. But when it comes to this game, that is when you want your most high profile player to step up. Of course, you never want to see an injury, but for him to have to come out in that unceremonious way just kind of actually feels poetic in a way to the way that the game went.
Mauricio Pochettino, is this going to be the last we see of him in a United States capacity? You know, I appreciate that there is ongoing contract negotiations, as I understand it, but do you think that he'll be hanging around?
Well, one thing is for certain, and I think when he kicked the Gatorade or Powerade six-pack a few times, he knew it. He was outcoached tonight by Rudy Garcia and outplayed by Belgium, his team. They came in with a plan, and you saw it from the very first minute. It was very clear at the beginning of Poch's tenure that this was a project around the 2026 World Cup. I don't know if he stays with U.S. soccer. I think that he has found something special. I think he's proved a lot. I think there were question marks around the way that the friendlies went only in March, and the way that he was able to say, why not us, and really get fans who've never watched a soccer game in their life doing it, like winning the hearts and minds of Americans, winning the admiration of Americans, winning the time that they sat and watched TV. I can't even tell you the amount of people who have never talked to me about soccer that I would go to water my plants or get the mail, and they'd ask me something about it. And I think a lot of that came from Pochettino. So there's a lot to be proud of.
I love this country, but you know, that's not the way we want to go out. But I feel it's a great progress to where we've been in the past. And You know, compared to years past, we're on the up and up.
But I don't know if he wants to stay for another cycle. I was a little confused as to why U.S. Soccer put that out there in the middle of the tournament. I understand it's like a great confidence boost. It's a way to get behind your manager. But I don't know if Pochettino is the long-term solution for the U.S. men's national team.
You touched on something there interesting in terms of like big picture and the impact this tournament and this team has had on the game in the United States. How will this campaign, this team be viewed? I mean, they've had some great moments, embarrassingly, one of them against Australia. But I'm sure the round of 16 was maybe not seen as a pass mark. I dare say they would have liked to or expected to get to a quarter or even a semifinal.
Yeah, when everybody asked what would success be for the U.S. men's national team, quarterfinal was the bare minimum that you heard blurted out for the reason that, yes, they won a knockout round game, but the round of 32 is new, right? So, like, everybody has had that cool new success. It's the round of 16 now where you really need to come out and prove yourself. But the U.S. men's national team, while their World Cup has ended, and now it is all over officially for all three hosts in Mexico, the United States, and Canada, the World Cup in the United States has not ended. And I really think that whether it's Argentina versus Cabo Verde, or it is an Alex Freeman or a Fuller and Balogun, they have found a way to get people talking in a way that I really can say I have never heard before. And this U.S. team, for me, is such a nice cross-section of all of the things that represent America. And for until 36 hours ago, when the Trump-Infantino saga began, I can really say it was the first time in a really long time in this country that it felt like everybody was celebrating the country together and being really excited about things, people you could never have a USA conversation with because you knew you stand on two different sides politically. People were talking again and you didn't really care who was next to you or hugging them. And it hasn't felt like that in this country in really quite some time. And I think that the 2.5+ really positive weeks from the U.S. men's national team did accomplish that. Now, how much is that going to be remembered and how much that is going to transpire into people now saying, oh, this guy, Matt Freese, plays for New York City FC, or, oh, Sebastian Burhalter is an MLS and plays for Vancouver, and, oh, so does Thomas Müller. I can watch them. That is to be determined. And that is going to be the big litmus test of this World Cup in the United States.
It sounds as though, from what you're saying there, that the president of the United States has really kind of stolen something from this tournament from American football fans. Is that a fair statement?
I don't know how much in the long term these two situations will cross over with one another, but I know that it is not appropriate for a governing body of a country to make the focus about them in the 36 hours leading up to a team's game. It should be about the team, and it did feel like the red card and everything that came from it had people arguing again. And it had been really nice to not be there.
Jillian, it's been a tremendous tournament. We've still got so much to
really
go.
Really has.
Yeah.
Yes.
Australia's out. We welcome the United States.
Yeah, we're on the same page now. It's a clean slate between you and I, Patrick.
That's right. I look forward to seeing what comes next against the nations that remain. Jill, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed my time talking soccer with Aussies. I never do that either.
There was another game today, and it was a massive one too. Ronaldo played what he says is his final ever game at a World Cup as Portugal was beaten 1-0 by neighbours Spain. Ronaldo said, "I'm sad to leave like this, but I've given everything, always given my best. I go with a clear conscience. This is football. Is the life of a footballer. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You have to carry on. It was my last World Cup, yes, but as far as the rest of it is concerned, there will be time to think, to be with my family. I will not make decisions in the heat of the moment." So who knows? Maybe he'll make a push for the Euros in 2 years' time. One person who won't be there with him is long-term ally and manager Roberto Martinez. He was asked in the aftermath why he did not sub Cristiano Ronaldo for Gonzalo Ramos, the brilliant striker from AC Milan who was left on the bench.
"When you are a team that you need a goal, you cannot take Cristiano off at least in the 90 minutes, because physically he's totally, totally capable with what he's done over the season to be able to be there. He's a presence, open space, a dead ball situation, anything in the box. We need his experience, so it would make no sense. Today, I think you said a word about disappointing. I'm not disappointed. No, I'm sad. I'm sad because we lost. We wanted to get to the final. I really felt that we could get 8 games in this tournament, but I'm extremely proud.
Now, interesting twist. Ronaldo remains contracted at his Saudi club, Al Nassr, whose coach, new coach that is Ange Postecoglou. What a turn of events. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS and Fox 4 for the extra audio used in this episode.